Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
This episode, we're covering Season 1, Episode 4, Pet Project, written by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
This is this was a fun episode, as far as a summary goes, while Carrie is suffering from a lack of affection from a distracted Cash, Jen and Dislord are growing closer. Jen helps him track down his former owner and to bribe a dog for information, which was fantastic. Vigilantism turns out to be a little harder than Cash expected. How'd you like this one?
I loved this episode. I thought it had a lot of really good stuff in it. Jizzlord is quickly becoming my favorite character, and his part of this episode was just fantastic. How about you?
So the first 15 minutes of this gave me a lot of your term, belly laughing, that really kind of sucked me into the show to begin with. The entire Jizzlord versus dog versus Dito,
so
like, section was I was laughing, you know, just giggling to myself in quiet so I don't wake up the kids. But it was it's the Nick Offerman high-pitched giggle is what was coming out of my mouth. And I mean, I really was tickled by several portions of that episode. And then they're really expanding into like emotional connections and moments and whatnot, whatever. So I thought that was, I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was better than last week's. And I feel like we're getting more character development. Like last week just kind of seemed like hijinks. Yes, it was progression, I guess, of Cash's story. But we saw, again, Cash still sucks. So I didn't really care. Didn't really give a shit. But yeah. I'm really liking and I'll tell you what, to me, the star of this, maybe not star, but the guy who played the vet, he was hysterical.
MVP. God.
He was the star guest star.
Yeah. So that's John McMillan, and he played Laenor Velaryon on House of the Dragon, which is a pretty different role.
I mean, I guess now that you say that, but I think the glasses and the different hair and I didn't.
No dragon. Yeah.
Well, sure, no dragon. But I mean, like, I'm just trying to, like, I now that you say it, I can see it. But man, like, the character was so different.
Yeah.
And
really
just, like,
different.
Really showed
so
comedic
funny.
Range. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, he was a little bit more lighthearted of a character for House of the Dragon, but that's a very weird yardstick because.
Right.
House of the Dragon is a very dark, heavy show. But he was, like, the one of the few characters that had a little bit of, like, levity to him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. The acting chops, the comedy chops, unbelievable.
Yeah, he was my favorite in this episode. Although, I think that the interactions between him and, like, once he exited the episode, it kind of, like, we started hitting emotional beats.
Yeah.
He was there for the comic the comic storyline, and then we moved on from the comic. Then it was just humiliations. And speaking of humiliations,
yeah.
What's your humiliation of the week?
It's poor Ade with his ass hanging out of a brick wall the street. I mean, and he gets abandoned by all of his friends. Cash should have reversed time so that he never tried to phase into the wall.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like you can reverse time. What are you? How are you going to sit here and just watch this guy's ass? Just reverse time and pull him out.
Yeah. And why did he try to go through the brick wall and not the door? Which I assume was much thinner.
Just your arm.
Idiots all around.
Your arm goes through and you unlock the door. And zero backup from his team.
They all bailed immediately.
No one said, hey, this is probably a better idea. Or, hey, Cash, rewind him out of there. Or whatever.
Yeah, no. They just bailed.
They just, that whole group. Ade is, the only person in that group that I really kind of like.
Yeah, the rest of them suck gigantically.
Yeah. I mean, as apparent by the fight that they got into, which, yeah. I mean, you have basically, all you can do is 3D print shit out of your ass, and you're going to talk shit to some dude about his girlfriend. I mean, come on. What are you doing?
And did you see what he was wearing?
The tiger face makeup.
Okay, the tiger face makeup. But then he had on this shirt that said FBI, female body inspector.
Yeah,
I see that T-shirt whenever I fly in and out of Washington, D.C. They sell it at the Hudson News at National Airport. And it always makes me angry. I'm like, who wears this goddamn tacky ass shirt?
I see it in Florida. Or I remember seeing it in Florida pretty often. It's even when I was young and stupid, it was maybe a step too far.
I mean, it's juvenile. If I see it on a teenager,
announce to the world, hey, I'm a douche.
But if you're an adult man and you're wearing that T-shirt, somebody should throw mud in your face. You suck. Speaking of when the vigilantes tried to help that one woman by jumping out from the dark and asking her if she needed help, what a horrible power she has to create a cloud of ink that then hits the ground immediately. It's not like she could throw the ink at them or anything. She just ink, and it's on the ground, and she's a mess.
Do you have any idea how hard this is? How long it takes to clean this up? that was a pretty rough power.
Yeah, but oh my god, they were such idiots. To jump out at a woman from the dark and be like, "Do you need help?" They're lucky she didn't kill them. If she had a more aggressive power, they'd be dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's if she was Charlie, they'd have gotten punched in the face from Poker Face.
Charlie Kale from Poker Face. Oh, yes. She would definitely have punched Cash in the face, and that would have been beautiful.
Yeah. So shameless plug for Poker Face and Murder Magnets. If you haven't listened, listen. That's the podcast that Penny is on with Jason and Jade and associated guest hosts. And Poker Face is actually a really fun show, especially if you enjoyed anything in the 80s that was some sort of mystery or whatever. It's good.
It's very, heart to heart, Remington Steele, Columbo.
Yeah.
What was the name? Spencer for Hire. It's got a lot of the tropes from those old shows, but it's real fresh and fun.
Yeah, it is entertaining. Anyway, moving on. All right, so my humiliation of the week I say humiliation, but I was cheering as it happened. Was when Cash just couldn't rewind time anymore. And I mean, it's the pitiful. And I mean, I was just so glad that it happened to him. And I was, God, man, the fact that I feel bad that I am so spiteful towards a character on a show. What it tells me is that the writing is, because I mean, we're supposed to dislike him, right? Like, that's That's the point.
Yeah. I think this episode especially showed a like, really this is, ugly this, side of him.
Yeah, this is like the bottoming out. And mm-hmm. maybe he will start to recover. But what I don't want to happen is I don't want us to waste our precious fucking carry on this loser fuck because he's sad and she needs to comfort him. That end, I was so frustrated by that, where she's like, maybe he'll turn over a new leaf, or maybe he'll just continue to be the giant fucking douche.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And deep breath. And I am okay. But yeah, so that was my humiliation of the week. Like, that was very humiliating of, like, you look at your the people that you gathered together, and you're like, nope, I'm not a part of these guys. And the shame that he had to feel walking off. I mean, I'm a little shocked that Gregor didn't follow him and fucking just rag on him constantly.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of, Gregor is fucking useless in a fight too.
Yeah, Gregor sucks as well.
He got hit with chips and then like ran away. Like, what useless.
And let us not forget that he thinks Clit is Clid.
The Clid.
Which just tells me that he never paid attention to anyone ever.
To anyone. But yeah, so that was my humiliation of the week, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about it. All right, so do you want to start with the first storyline?
Sure. Let's talk about our guest star, John McMillan's character. I don't know that the vet ever got a name. I think he's just the vet.
I just referred to him as Dr. Doolittle because that was what was on the poster.
Yeah, but and the sign outside the veterinarian was like Clancy and something, but like we don't know his actual name. Yeah, we can call him Doolittle. I wrote down all the things that animals were saying to him in that first scene. All right, so first the teeny tiny turtle says, "Kill me." And then we hear all cluttered together. "My fucking bone. Where's my mom? Please don't take my testicles. Why have my owners abandoned me? I'm afraid. I'm gonna scratch the shit out of you. I was in here first. Donde estoy, carajo?" Which means, where am I, prick? "Esto no es el bosque." This isn't the forest. "Where's my mom and dad? What is going on here? Let me out. Let me out. Anyone there?" And then the turtle again. "Just do it. Do it, you coward. Go on. Walk away like you always do." And then, "Hungry. I'm hungry. Hungry. Hello. I'm hungry. Food, please." And finally, "I hate it here." Before he puts on his noise-canceling headphones and listens to what I think was Bach, some classical music.
That scene was basically, I was like, from Dr. Doolittle to Encanto, where people can speak to animals, being a vet or like that's working the at worst. The pound would be the worst possible job. That, oh, I'll help animals because I can talk to them. No. Not only do they hate you, but they probably hate their lives. Okay, maybe some cats. You know what? Cats are pretty much assholes anyway. So, like, in general, cats, they probably wouldn't be very friendly regardless. Except to their owners. But, yeah, so I felt super bad for the guy, but he was still trying to help. And I really liked his character.
He seems like a really, like, sweet person.
Yeah.
I think he might be gay because he seemed kind of excited when Tito the dog said that Jizzlord came from Homo Island. He was like, "That's not a real place. Or is it? Is it?"
That, like, that was probably my favorite line of the episode. He says he does know where you're from. Homo Island? That's not a real place. Like, I watched that line a couple of times because I thought it was so funny.
Oh my God, so great. I loved when the first time he was consulting with Jen and Jizzlord, and he found the microchip, and then he looks it up and he's like, "Oh, here's the address," and it says David. "Do you think that's the owner's name or your name? Who names a cat David?" And then he says, "The world doesn't make sense to me anymore." Which is a complete non sequitur. And Jen gives him a look like, "Whoa, buddy, overshare much?" It reminded me of this time in college, my friend and I were driving home back to the campus from New York City, and it was winter, and we were poor, and we ran out of gas. And
been there.
We were not appropriately dressed for the weather, and it was a highway, and it was really scary to get out of the car and try to flag someone down to help us. Eventually, somebody found us, and he's like, I'll go and call the police and a tow truck and send them back. We're like, we just need a can of gas. We don't need a tow truck. And he's like, all right. So he did call the police, who showed up, and then it was two cop cars, and they proceeded to, like, hang out with each other and not help us at all. They just, like, we were like, are you going to call, like, AAA or something? They're like, we'll get to it. So my friend and I were just sitting in the truck, and the original guy comes back, and he comes up. It was so funny. He comes from over a hill. So we see him, and it's nighttime, right? So we see him, like, in the streetlights, and he's got a gas can, and he was waving it. He's like, I brought gas for the girls. And we're like, oh, my God, thank you so much. So he comes down the hill, and he's putting the gas in my gas tank, and he goes, I really hate my job. Like, just totally out of nowhere. And my friend who was with me at the time, Hannah, and I still joke about it. It's been 30 years, and we still find that really funny to say, I really hate my job, like, in the middle of a conversation with no context whatsoever. So I feel like this vet is in the same place that guy was in, where he's just a nice guy, and his life sucks, and it's just leaking out of him at this point. Like, he can't help it. He's like, the world doesn't make sense to me anymore. Yeah.
The so I got a couple of comments about the scene. What was Jizz Lord wearing?
Thank you.
Was that a clown suit?
I wrote circus tent.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I was like,
I don't know if he's getting his clothes from Jen. She's a pretty colorful dresser, or from
maybe
Cash.
Maybe she got it from her outfit store.
Oh, the party store.
Yeah, the party store.
That
I was
would
just
make
like,
sense.
What is he wearing? This is ridiculous. It's like a onesie.
It really did. It looked like maybe pajamas, but like, yeah,
but
it was ridiculous.
One piece, but like corduroy. But yeah, it was bonkers.
Yeah.
The button on the end of the scene, the racist rabbit, was. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't take that one. A bit racist. <It's> like, but
I want to know what the rabbit said to him.
Yeah, I wish that they had like included like a racial slur or something to the white people. Like honky or something like that, because that, or whatever they say in Britain towards white people, because I think that would have been funny. Speaking of white, that was, oh, we can finally find out what your name is. I mean, maybe you're Matt or Paul or some other white guy.
Yeah.
I did have to, I was an American who Googles when the vet said that he, went and found his birth mother, and, then they have a good relationship. It does turn out that I was a relative of blood relative of Fred West.
Yeah, I had to look it up too.
Who was a British serial killer. That's not obviously great, but it's like
mixed bag.
All right. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. So then I'll take over from this point. The next time we see Jen and Gislor, now they're going to go see the owner, and oh, he's dead. Oh, Jen, am I a bad bet? What? I think I killed him. As the lady walks by and he's like, what?
I ran away.
I left and his heart gave out. I bummed him out and he died. And so then he's like, oh. And then, so this is what Steve talks about as far as the pause point. Mm-hmm. He hears the growling of Tito, and then you go to commercial, which is agitating. Or you just get a blank spot, and you see him turn around, see Gislor turn around and find Tito. Why are you staring at that dog? It's not a dog, it's a demon. I thought that was a, and then we did find out that Gislor's name was Hercule. So not Hercules, but Hercule. which was in his his proud rump. Oh, is it?
I believe Poirot? That Agatha Christie's Poirot's first name is Hercule. Yeah, Hercule.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like the French version of Hercules. It's still better than Jizz Lord. I don't know what Jen was like, oh, stupid name. And I'm like, yeah. I might consider it.
Is Jen is Irish, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I hear her accent and I think Scottish, but I get, it's Irish.
It's Irish.
I did think that the I did really enjoy the it's kind of frowned upon to steal a dog at a funeral. All right, let's give up and go home and do that thing you don't want to do. Immediate cut to them.
That was such a great run. Out.
Yeah.
And then
he runs into a branch that's coming out of the wall and trips.
What he says is, let's take him to the vet and make him talk, which was very threatening.
Very threatening. What was that coat that Jen was wearing? It looked like a shag rug that she turned into a coat.
Yeah, those are kind of in right now. I'm seeing them a lot in retail establishments. I think that it takes a very specific person to look good in a coat like that. I think most people end up kind of looking like a bag lady, which is probably not correct to say anymore.
Okay, so that's what Jen looked like. Like she looked like she found it. I mean, because it's also like pea green, and like it was very much like it seemed like a dingy, almost like an East Ender type coat.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have a lot of money, but I found this and it's warm and I can make it work.
It definitely seemed like an attempt to be quirky, mm-hmm. And like probably purchased at like a vintage store.
Right.
I don't know though. I am seeing them in like women's shopping places. And I think if it's not pea green, it's probably easier to wear. I have a coat kind of like that. That's black.
Honestly, it kind of looks like a green version of Princess's coat from The Walking Dead. That hers is just the bright pink, which is just more cheerful, and her character is more cheerful, and also Jen's down in the dumps.
It fit Princess, and it was a shorter, it was like a waist length jacket, so
that's true.
It was more of a small statement, whereas Jen's coat was like too big for her, right? It was like hanging right. off of her, and it really did look like something she got from like a lost and found bin,
right.
Especially when you add it to all her other clothes that are like as many colors as possible at once.
Yeah, she does have quite the fashion sense.
Yeah.
So then they do end up heading back to the vet, and you're like. the whole we've talked about it a little bit, but the exchange between the vet and he's saying the word cuck a lot.
Yeah, I don't know where Jizzlord he learned that. After him. Jizzlord goes, I hope you get put down.
Jizzlord. And the fact that Jen still calls him Jizzlord like it's his name. Like she says it like, oh, Steven.
Yeah.
Jesus Lord. And then, Homo Island. Okay. I'll help you, but I want something in return. Do you know what King Shit is? And it is apparently a strip club / nightclub.
I couldn't tell if King Shit was the name of that club or if he was just referring to being like the King Shit.
Being King Shit, yeah. So I Googled it and I Googled literally to find out what it was. I was like, is King Shit like a club in England? And on the show, King Shit was the club.
Okay. All right. Well, that they went to that club and they partied hard.
Oh, did they? Although I did find Jizzlord drinking and then spitting, spitting it, like just letting so it fall funny. Out of his mouth. And I don't remember if the first time I watched it, I was a little bit distracted or whatever, but like I had to like, wait, did he just let that fall out of his mouth? And I had to rewind it and look at it. I was like, yo, he definitely did. I'm just going to say that after they left, like, they were not nearly as fucked up or as intoxicated as they should have been.
Yeah.
Even in my 20s, I wouldn't have been able to stand had I had shot after shot after shot after shot after shot.
And coke
on top of that.
Yeah, I've never done coke, so I don't know how that would play into it. Like, but
maybe counteract it, yeah. But
I have definitely had many drinks and then tried to walk in high heels with varying amounts of success. I didn't think they seemed quite drunk enough either. But I really did enjoy the vet getting thrown out of the club and being like, Tiffany, you have my LinkedIn!
Yes. It was good. Basically every part of this storyline, this portion of the storyline, I loved.
Yeah, there wasn't a bad moment with the vet. He was just delightful.
And then when he took the shot after shot after shot on like the one take, mm-hmm. it was so like you could just like see him just like becoming more and more alive the more shots he took. Like his eyes just. I mean, don't get me wrong. His expression never changed, but you're just like, go for it, man.
Yeah.
Like, if I would probably feel the same if I was, you know, oh, I need a day out as well. I could use some time away.
It's their screams. They never leave you.
Yeah. I really did like the discomfort. And this was close to the humiliation of the week for me, of both Jenna and Jizzlord starting to get lap dances from twin, or not twin, but you know, sister blondes or similar looking blondes.
I think it was meant to be one woman who has a power to double herself.
Oh,
because she was one person standing there, and then the other one like steps from behind her.
Good call, because I totally did not catch that. Like, I didn't think of it being a power. I was just thinking you're in a strip club and
that's
a really good call.
I couldn't tell, and I couldn't find the names of the women that played those two characters or one character, but they looked a lot like the blonde twins that were in Jordan Peele's Us to me.
I never saw that. I'm not a freaky horror person, just because it freaks me out and horrifies me, so just not my thing.
An absolutely exquisite movie, but there were teenage blonde women in it, and that was a few years ago, so these women looked like the right age to be those women, but I couldn't confirm it.
Gotcha. So then they get kicked out of the club, and Tito's like, okay, you guys know how to party.
Yeah.
And I respect you. You know, this is where you hung out, and then but I need you to let me go. I wrote down part of what
I've got
said.
The whole thing.
Oh, do you? Go ahead.
Yeah. He says he's had enough of this human life. He wants to be free like the wolves of old, free to roam and hunt, to feel cool earth and hot blood.
And then
so they
take the collar off, and the dog just starts walking, and
like
it's
prancing.
So, like, yeah, prissy and prancing. And it was so, I'm like, man, you are born into the wrong body, buddy.
Yeah, there's no wolves of old going on here.
Yeah, and then I'll take him back to surgery, and I was like, I would not want you operating on my pet.
Yeah,
in your condition,
but. I do trust him to take the pet to the vet office, and
oh yeah, absolutely.
Somebody else can work on it. Poor.
Yeah, that was
Tito.
So then we move on, and you know, other things happen, other places in the show. But so then we end up at the alley where they're not wanting to give up, and so they, we should check in here. I think they have a 6% blood orange IPA. I was like, you're speaking my language. And then Jen's next line broke my heart. I have bad news, though. You might have been a craft beer guy. was that bad? Oh, yes. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
And then they open the door, and you immediately see this the hipster beards and hairdos and man buns, and it's just like, oh.
It, actually, to me, I was like, that looks like a cool pub. I would hang out there.
Oh, yeah, I would absolutely hang out there, but I'm like, is this me now?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the hair for a man bun, but...
Good, because yuck. but, you know, you could do the hipster beard thing.
That's true. That's true.
And then yeah, you so, just need to wear like a weird wool beanie in summer. Then you can really be a hipster.
That's how I feel about New Englanders in general, is giant beards and beanies with no hair on top. It seems like a pretty significant staple. But anyway, so then, okay, hey, I'm going to hang out and wait for the owner to show up because the bartender hasn't met him. So at this point, we kind of like lose the comedy. And we get more into like the heartfelt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to kind of summarize this because there weren't points that I was like, outside of him licking the milk out of the glass, like a cat, I didn't really have any other like laugh points in the storyline. Mm-hmm. But Jen was like, oh, are you excited? Oh, what did he say? Yeah, I'm terrified. I'm scared. Oh yeah. I feel sick. That's what he said. Oh yeah, I feel sick. Great. She's like, all right, well, I'm gonna hit the loo. And Jen, read the room. Come on. He's obviously having some issues with this.
Although maybe she just thought he was sick from all the booze and cocaine they just did.
Well, okay, that's fair. But then he bails and she comes back to the full glass of milk because cats don't drink it very fast. And then finds him and leads to my other favorite line. Let's find out how shit we are together.
Yeah.
And then fucking Luke texts and she's like, God damn it, Jen. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Although there were a couple of pretty good cat lines in there. I like you when you're not shouting at me.
That's just when you're eating something you shouldn't eat.
Yeah. And that and the you gotta stop chewing charging cables. Those are pretty good.
Charging cables can be really expensive to replace.
They really are.
Yeah. Cats, all cats out there, if you're listening, I know we don't have any cat listeners, but if we did, I would beg them to stop chewing through charging cords because very expensive and annoying to replace.
And that, so that pretty much ended that storyline.
Yeah.
You have any other notes?
Sort of wedged into that storyline is also Jen's whole deal where she's procrastinating setting up her free consultation about finding her power. Her dad mm-hmm. called her on it. Carrie called her on it. Jizzlord called her on it. And I was thinking about the nature of procrastination and did a little, you know, little Googling. And procrastination is often misunderstood to be a side effect of laziness, but that's not what it is at all. It's usually the result of a hypercritical childhood and a resulting fear of being criticized. So there's like anxiety about starting something that you already feel like you're going to fail at. I have been a procrastinator at various times in my life. I've had a really hard time with it. Because then what you end up having to do is all the work at the last minute under like a frenzy. There's also theories that some procrastinators do this so that if they fail, they have the excuse of, well, I waited till the last minute, and they don't have to face the fact of whether or not they're actually bad at something.
Been there.
It's all kind of, you know, a psychological mishmash, but I thought it was really funny. I tried so hard to get rid of my procrastination that I have this book about procrastination on my bookshelf. It's by Jane Burka and Lenora Ewan. Never read it.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you how the book was.
Yeah, I have not yet gotten around to reading this book, so that tells you what you need to know about procrastination.
Yeah, it's for me, I would say that it absolutely, it's, I don't know if it's hypercritical necessarily, but like necessarily a hypercritical childhood is why I procrastinate. I just don't like doing things I don't like to do.
Well, and, yeah, there's that.
Like, that's the, yes, part of it is the, especially if I like really don't know what's going on. If I'm like, hey, I don't even know where to start. Well, I'll figure it out later. Or, oh, you know what? I can accomplish this other thing that I do know how to do, and I'll build my confidence. And then eventually you just either take a zero on the project, or you put it together to the point where, okay, well, fuck it.
My one friend does that. When she is procrastinating something else she needs to do, she cooks or bakes, and she calls it procrastibaking. And I am often the recipient of baked goods, so I'm fine with it.
I mean, I get that. Like, I might encourage that procrastination. Procrastibation? No, that doesn't make any sense.
Procrastibaking.
That's a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. I was just turning it into a noun as opposed to a verb, but
yeah, I don't think it works.
Not that it matters. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any other notes?
Let me look real quick about procrastinating. Oh, just that moment when Jen says, "Let's find out how shit we are together." Of course, Gislord doesn't know how to shake hands, and he just takes one hand in both of his hands, and it was so cute. I was like, oh, nice little kitty. I wanted to pet him the way that the vet pet him, like he was still a cat.
I couldn't do that. Oh, it's so hard.
He's like petting the back of his neck. And
yeah, and Gislord is like, eyes are closed. Yeah. Yep. He'd be purring if he was still in cat form.
I never get all tired of that.
So do you want to start on the Carrie storyline? And if, by the way, if you guys don't like us talking our way through storylines and we should like, you know, talk more on points, please let us know, because I just feel like we're covering more stuff because these episodes are dense.
Yeah.
But
switching up the format. I think it's good for us mentally. Yeah, let's talk about Carrie, because her story this week was pretty hard to take. I felt really sad.
Although it had some more good, funny moments.
Yeah. Oh, always.
Yeah. You go ahead.
So we start off with Carrie and Cash in bed together, and Carrie really wants to have sex, and Cash is really distracted by text messages from his vigilante friends, and then she basically says, like, can I get you to focus for 2 seconds on me? And he goes, oh, this is important, and I could have sex with you anytime.
Oh,
and then
man,
the look on her,
like,
both their faces, right? As soon as he said it, he was like, oops, that was a mistake. And then she looks at him and knows what he's going to do. She's like, don't you dare. And he does it. He reverses time. And then he still doesn't manage to do the right thing with his second chance, right? He says to her, you're the most important thing in the world to me. And then he's like, okay, I got to answer these texts. And then he goes, you get things started and I'll jump in. Like,
you
fuck
only need
you.
One hand. You only need one hand. Get it started and I'll jump in. I was like, oh God.
My God. And I was like, this is how they're still in a relationship, though, because he does that reverse time thing a lot to save his ass.
He's very practiced at it. And so it's just like, he's just like not as bad.
He takes her so for granted.
Oh,
he's completely mooching off of her. And, you know, other than being, like, kind of cute, he doesn't seem to have anything going for him. And he must just trick Carrie constantly. She's just such a sweet person. And I guess
Maybe we'll get some, like, maybe they're going to turn it on its head. And, like, then at the end of the episode, or at the end of the season, you know, Carrie, we'll just find some bad things about Carrie, and Cash will like turn it around.
I don't think we're gonna find out anything bad about Carrie.
It would subvert the crap out of my expectations, because I love Carrie right now. Like,
so
I feel so bad for her.
My notes I wrote down: Cash continues being a dumbass. Carrie continues to be the best.
except for the fact that she's keeping cash around.
Yeah. It's hard to understand. I was thinking about it, and maybe they have been together since college. And in college, a guy who doesn't have his act together is fine, right? It's like kind of cute. It's just, it gets less and less cute the older you are, right? Like a 21-year-old who doesn't have his act together is like understandable. But once you're 25, you should at least be able to pay rent. Like have figured out enough to, you know, support yourself a little bit. Like start figuring out some things about life. And he just seems to be like, he doesn't want to do anything that's hard. He just wants to like have glory. I don't know. He's a child.
Yeah.
And she deserves better.
100%.
And if she was only with him for the sex and he's not giving her the sex, like throw him out.
Kick that motherfucker to the curb. For God's sake. All right. So then one of my favorite parts of this, of Carrie's storyline, was you clean when you're sexually frustrated, and all of the things that she describes she's going to do to the room. The effort with which she is scrubbing the floor, you're like, and she's just like, ugh! I'm like,
yeah,
oof, I'm so sorry, Carrie.
Yeah, she is very sexually frustrated.
Jen's like, just bash one out. I can't get there. It's just, oh God, that's the worst.
It's so heartbreaking.
The hot and the vag are very closely connected.
I mean, it's true. But Carrie brushed her off, right? Jen's like, maybe there's something deeper going on here. I can tell that the second that Carrie decides to dump cash, Jen is going to be like, I'm here to support you. Like, she is on board with that. But she sort of gently hinted at it, and Carrie brushed her off big time.
Yeah, so I just need to come, and then everything will be fine forever.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not how it works, but okay. I'm willing to watch you go through this journey. So then Jen suggests that she go visit
Gordon,
the orgasm guy. And Carrie's like, no, it would be like cheating. I'll be fine. And then when she's alone in Jen's room, she just keeps looking at Gordon's glove that he left there.
So that was one of my, like, I was like, the editing on this, I loved it. Mm-hmm. Because we flash to, I think we were either at the funeral or at the vet or something like that. And we're like in the middle of it. And we literally see Carrie for like 10 seconds. And there are no words spoken. She's just scrubbing at the floor. And then she glances at the glove. And then she scrubs a little bit more. And then she stares at the glove. And then back to scrubbing. And then we flash back, and I was just like, that was so well done. Mm-hmm. Like, if you weren't looking at the TV and you weren't paying attention, then you'll miss it. But like the comedy and like it's almost like building tension within Carrie and with all the physical effort she's going to scrub.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done.
I loved her cleaning outfit. And how when she came into Jen's room, she goes, housekeeping. And then she takes her like safety glasses off and she's like, it's just me, Carrie. As if Jen wouldn't have recognized her. I was like, oh, Carrie, you're so wholesome and sweet. I love you so much.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the actual housekeeper that we don't have. Yeah. Right. So then we get to Gordon's house. And look at this. I'm just going to address this whole thing, right? So, can you make me come? Do you have any idea how many people come with me with that? Yes. Okay. And, you know, my boyfriend's too busy and this. Well, that sounds like a general lack of intimacy in your relationship. There's nothing I can do to help about that. She starts crying. Please don't cry. Okay, I'll help. And I know that I'm just recapping the scene.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, all of that was so well done. And like that entire conversation, I could see someone, hey, I have the power to help you. You can't, like, yes, it's an intimate thing, but you know, I don't want to just, you know, bash one out for you or whatever the case is. And then he's just like, okay, I give up. And then the finger, like, yeah. Okay, we're gonna ET it.
Yep.
And then the look on Gordon's face, I was dying, because he's just like, oh, like, I'm just literally, he looked like someone who was waiting for Shamu to come out of the pool and splash people.
Yeah, he did kind of look like that.
Like that's exactly, here it comes. It was like, yeah. Oh, I'm bracing so that I don't get soaked here. But just
their positioning in general, but it was still really funny.
It was, I thought it was very, very, he's just like, and I thought,
oh, and she's really, like, really, maybe wash your hands first, as if that makes any difference whatsoever. Like, they're just going to touch the tips of their fingers.
And that, I mean, but that was her reassessing. Like, it was by her buying time, right? Like, that's what was happening, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That was her going, oh, you know, let me think about this a little bit longer. He was just like, all right, sure, yeah, I'll go wash my hands. Doesn't bother me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then when he comes back and she's like, I can't do this. And then he's like, oh, I get it. I'm a freak. And she's like, like you said, she's such a wholesome, good person.
Yeah.
That she makes him understand that he has a superpower and that he can help people. He can bring people joy, and he views it as a curse. And now, are you the cum man?
She healed him. Yeah. She healed him.
Like, yes, I am. Yeah. She gave him confidence. She gave him she gave him a power.
Yeah.
Which his was power. And
you know, the story he told Jen on their date about his father and how he discovered he had a power and how, like, traumatizing that was for him. He had a lot of shame, and it's like Harry just took all the shame away for him. It was a beautiful moment where she is just a loving, giving person, and he believed her because of how, like, caring she is. She's just such a sweetheart. It was really great. I want to know what the gloves hanging on the wall represent.
That's maybe just the ones that go with his different outfits.
I thought it was like a trophy case or something.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. And I was like, what's going on there? That's gross. Like, what do those gloves represent to him? Why are there so many of them? Why are some of them really industrial looking? And why do some of them look like, you know, like magician gloves? It's just everything about that. I want to know more information.
So after, I mean, I'm like, this is like, hey, Carrie has healed Gordon. And now I'm just imagining him walking down the street, like dancing, like almost like a Singing in the Rain, just touching people as he walks by. Just the like, that's a scene I want to see Gordon just helping people walking. I mean, quote unquote, helping people walking down the street. Just,
you know, he could use it as a member of the stupid vigilante squad too, because it would definitely distract people if you were trying to, like, save somebody. You know, he could touch them, and then they could do whatever, you know, that person would be distracted. But I like the idea that he's
distracted.
That he's just going to open up, like he's going to become like a sex surrogate, or, you know, like a counselor. There's people that do this work to really help people. He seemed to be like, I don't know, like, yeah, I am the cum man, and it's something to be proud of. And I kept thinking about the line from that Batman movie, like, he's not the hero that the...
He's not the hero people want. He's the hero the city needs.
Yeah, he's the hero that these women need. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's, yeah. So I really like the Carrie storyline because she just infuses her goodness everywhere. Yeah. And now apparently Gordon will infuse his goodness everywhere.
Pay it forward, Gordon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Carrie.
And now we get to the, I personally think, the worst storyline, although it did produce a couple of funny moments. But man, Cash just poisons all of this, like, in my head.
He's such a dumbass.
Yeah. So they get together for his vigilante guys. They surprise Inkblot Lady.
He said earlier, just, it's a great line I don't want to miss. Didn't realize being a hero would involve so much admin.
Well, you're not a hero, buddy.
Yeah.
You're just an asshat who can rewind time.
But most things in life require a lot more admin than we would all like. It's just the way it goes.
Very much so, yes. All right, so then scare Inkblot Lady, and then, oh, you're here to help people? Mostly you're just women.
Yeah.
Oh, like this smuggling lady. Fuck off. All right. Well, I guess we can help you get into your apartment. And so then we talked a little bit about Addy. You know, the fact that he had to be nude.
So
very
sad.
Much, it very much gave me Mystery Men vibes. I don't know. This was a movie with an amazing cast that I feel was very underappreciated for its time.
I saw it when it came out, but I don't remember much about it, except did Ben Stiller have a power that was like linked to a bowling ball?
No, that was Janine Garofalo. I'm just going to run down the cast, right? And you're going to hear the cast and be like, oh my God, that's amazing. So Ben Stiller, William H. Macy, Janine Garofalo, Kel from Kenan and Kel, Greg Kinnear, Jeffrey Rush, Hank Azaria, and then there Tom Waits. There are a huge number of phenomenal actors in this, and it's a B superhero movie. And Hank Azaria plays the Blue Rajah who just throws forks at people. So Kel, Eddie Izzard's also in it. His power is that he is the invisible boy, but he can only be invisible when no one's looking. And he can't turn his clothes invisible. Is able to like get past cameras and whatnot because no one's physically looking at him. But he's also butt naked. So when they do look, now he appears, and it's a funny scene, but that's what this reminded me of. And Addy's not comfortable with his body right now.
I felt so bad for him.
You guys are all just assholes. Just go do it. Just phase through this brick wall. Like we talked about it already. Poor choices.
Yeah.
But so
and then they then, I mean they all abandon him. All of them.
Everybody in that group except for Addy is just a douche.
They suck.
And like that the tag with Addy's ass just talking to the locksmith to get it back in. Oh, we want to go to Prague. No, I've heard Splits is cheaper, is just like Prague, but cheaper. It's like, man, you know, Addy is, again, just like Jen. No, sorry. Just like Carrie. Just seems like a good person.
Yeah.
Not a perv. Just really honest to God trying to help people and not insult them. And I really liked Addy.
I like Ade. Yeah, the rest of them, I was actually kind of happy to see them getting punched in the face over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the costumes are horrible. I'm just looking through my notes.
Cash's costume actually looked pretty good, but the rest of them...
Well, the Gregor specifically is the one that I looked at, and it's just like, what? Like,
I hate Gregor. On.
Yeah, he's... Like, is he worse than Cash? The only reason I would say no is because he's not treating Carrie like shit.
But we don't know what he's like. Like, we don't know enough about him. We see more of Cash, so it's hard to judge.
Yeah.
Gregor seems like he's worse, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So then we get to the point where Cash does abandon, is it Adi?
I think Ade? It's Ade. Ade?
Ade. I keep calling him Addy. My bad. And then, so he's like, oh, this is why I'm the leader. This is why you need me. And then rewind, it's my humiliation of the week is you rewind and you rewind and you rewind and you can only get to the same place in the tape. Yeah. You realize how useless you really are. And then you abandon all of your quote unquote friends to get their asses kicked. Except for Gregor, who's just going to run away.
Yeah.
That's what his super speed's good for, is running away.
And then he finally wants to pay attention to Carrie because he wants her to come and comfort him, right? He texts her.
Yeah. Again, he calls her because he turns it down.
Oh, right.
She declines the card at the call at Gordon's. And so I was like, you know what? You have earned this. That's flat out, you have earned this entire thing.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Carrie went and hugged him and all that, I did look up Fennec and Parsley, which is where they're at, where he was eating falafel dipping in some sort of sauce. I was like, oh, that's actually a bar in London or a takeout place in London. So that's cool.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real thing. I was like, oh, that's cool. Unless Google lied to me. Just an American who Googles here. So, and that's the end of that storyline, which Cash, you don't deserve any more of our time. All right. So do you have any other notes?
I just have a couple of things that I thought were, I didn't want us to not mention.
Okay.
In the vet waiting room, there was a guy with a dog head and a dog next to him, and it was the identical head on his dog. Like, he and his dog were identical. That's all we know. It's just another weird power in the background. I enjoyed how when the vet, like, looked down at his, you know, his clipboard, and he was like, Jizz Lord! just went with it. We talked about the racist bunny. Oh, when Jizz says to the vet, Jen's my owner now. And Jen's like, telling people
stop
that.
Stop saying that.
Jen and Jizz Lord were holding hands for a little bit at the strip club. I just thought that was really sweet. I think we all would prefer Jen to be with him and not Luke. Luke sucks. Yeah. But I did think that the hookup lost and found box was hilarious. Because it would work to be like, oh, you left this, you know, your glove at my house. I'll bring it by. Like, yeah, that's how you, that's a booty call.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I agree. It doesn't really work for guys.
Probably not. It'd be like, oh, can I just bring this by your house? Yeah, leave it on the porch.
Yeah. No, I can live without that.
Yeah, contactless pickup. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
You can keep it.
Any other thing? Anything else we missed?
I don't think so.
All right. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right, time for a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. And we're back. All right, we're going to go move on to some extraordinary news. Penny?
So, as I've mentioned in the past, it's hard to look for news about this show because there's lots of things in the world that have the word extraordinary in them. And also because they dropped all the episodes at once, most of the things that you find have spoilers. But I found one that was just a reaction to this episode. It was in primetimer.com, which I had never heard of before. One of the best new TV characters has a name we can't run in a headline, by Diana Shen. And she starts off, in an entertainment landscape that feels oversaturated with superhero content, Hulu's original comedy series Extraordinary manages to feel fresh. The show's heart isn't in the zany supernatural elements, but in the characters and their journeys toward self-discovery. The protagonist, 25-year-old Jen, Mairead Tyers, struggles with finding purpose, given that she's part of the small minority of individuals who didn't receive a unique ability after turning 18. Her best friend Carrie, Sophia Oxenham, is a lawyer with the ability to communicate with the dead, yet believes no one wants to truly get to know her beyond her power. Carrie's boyfriend Cash, Bill L. Hosna, can briefly turn back time, but has zero ambitions beyond forming an unsuccessful vigilante group. The best parts of Extraordinary have nothing to do with any of the gimmicks we've gotten used to seeing on the big screen. Sure, there are some characters with the classic super strength or super speed, but there are also dudes who can 3D print things out of their butts, and women in their 40s unable to age past 11. Superpowers are more quirky than heroic, as they end up being little traits for people to utilize or not in their everyday lives. But while having a power is the norm in this show, it doesn't necessarily mean anyone's lives are made any easier. This is definitely the case for the show's standout character, Jizzlord, Luke Rawlison, an awkward shapeshifter who was trapped as a cat for 3 years before accidentally morphing out of it. Jen initially adopts him as a stray, bestowing him with the glorious name of, well, Jizzlord. Unfortunately, while Jen is changing, Jizzlord the cat shifts out of feline form and into a very distressed and very naked man and hairy man. He has zero memory of what his identity was pre-cat, so the flatmates reluctantly take him in as part of their gang as he attempts to slowly reintegrate himself into human life.
Jizzlord is adorably lanky and bug-eyed, with the innocence of a toddler. He's initially played as comic relief, lingering in the background while wearing Jen's colorful clothing and providing occasionally humorous asides, such as losing a battle to a can opener, or failing to remember the word job. Like sadness, but money? Then, in episode 4, Jizzlord begins to evolve into a more fully formed character as he catches glimpses of his former life. After finding out he's microchipped, Jen and Jizzlord discover his previous name was Hercule, and that he used to dominate cat shows with his now-deceased owner. A malicious Pomeranian gives them clues about Jizzlord's life as a stray, which leads him to a pub where he used to frequent. Though it turns out to have been a dead end, well, we didn't talk about the fact that it ended up being a dead end.
Oh, yeah.
The experience exposes Jizzlord's fears about not liking the person or cat he might have been, and provides him with unexpected emotional depth. Right? There were emotions in this episode.
It was intense.
Jizzlord's insecurities about his former self overlap with Jen's own journey, as she spends episode 4 focused on Jizzlord to put off submitting her paperwork for an expensive clinic where she could potentially activate her powers. The show is essentially a coming-of-age tale for Jen, exploring her flaws and missteps as she tries to make sense of her life without powers. As season 1 progresses, we see promising developments between Jen and Jizzlord.
In
episode 7, we're not going to talk about
spoilers.
Those things. Not going to talk about that.
We'll link the rest in the show notes. Whoops.
Yep,
there's spoilers.
More stuff. Don't want to spoil myself.
Yeah.
All right. And that's the end of that that news link, but we'll put it in the show notes. And we're going to put spoilers on it. So not put spoilers on it, but
tell you that
about
spoilers.
Yeah. Say that they're spoilers. All right. Thus ends the not spoilery news.
Whoops. I only read the first half of the article, clearly. All right.
All right. So now we'll move into listener feedback. From Facebook, Tiffany Tybalt. And if that's wrong, my bad. Please tell us how to say your name. Send in a voicemail. That'd be awesome. Regarding episode 3, watching it now, saved it for Friday after a long, shitty work week, understandable, already pissing my pants halfway through. He knows where the clitoris is. Bam! Mic drop. The music is really good in that show, too. And I'm thinking I'm really turning British as the guy crapping 3D printing objects made me laugh. Hope not too late for the podcast. Can't wait to listen to it. Hey, I hope you heard it, and now we're reading your stuff. By the way, I do want to apologize. Last week, if you downloaded it right after we uploaded it, that was my bad. Steve's voicemail, it wasn't there. We get it. I want to apologize. It is now fixed, and you can listen to Steve's live Steve as intended.
Excellent. Jamie Dimmick wrote in on Facebook and said, "Wow, they pack a lot into an episode in a good way. I'm just not sure what to comment on. Cash continues to be a useless jerk. He's so lucky Carrie loves him. She deserves so much better. She's all that is good in this world."
She
really is, yeah. Telling Cum Guy you bring people joy was so sweet. The Jizz Lord origin story is still a mystery, but I feel like he might be hiding something other than a very hairy ass. Though I kind of hope we never learn his real name. Going to a club with a dog was brilliant, as was having Ade get stuck with just his ass out. I'm loving the show, and listening to you two after each episode makes it even better. Thanks, aww, Jamie. Thanks, Jamie. Keep the feedback coming.
Yeah, please do.
We got a couple of voicemails from Jade Anderson, who is my co-host over on the Murder Magnets podcast, which Greg was mentioning earlier. And she sent in two voicemails. One is about episodes 1-3, and the other one's about episode 4. So I'll play the 1-3 one now.
Hey, what's up, Penny and Greg? It's Jade, and I just wanted to let you know I love this friggin' show. I'm so glad I listened to Penny and decided to give it a try because this shit is funny, man. I am, oh man, from the beginning of that first scene in the whole show with Jen at the job interview, when she said, "I'm worried I'm a little bit racist, and do you have a gross eye hole under there?" I was sold. I was like, oh, okay, this show has me. I'm in. And so I just wanted to say a couple of my favorite lines. The glove kid, oh my God, everything he said was killing me. But then when he said, he started chest compressions, and every time, yep, khakis were ruined. I lost it. I was dying. And like, she tries to shake hands with him before he leaves. Good game. When she said good game, I was like, why? She's so inappropriate and just wrong in all the right ways. And then when she was at her sister's birthday party, are we just going to ignore the fact that she broke the refrigerator? I killed a man. No one looks up. And when she crashed that date, oh God, it was so cringe. There are so many cringe moments in this show, but like, I love me a good cringe, you know, who doesn't? And that, God, but then that first episode, man, when I learned that Jen's dad was dead, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was so sad. I was like, I didn't cry, but I was really close, man. And it just, the thing that warmed my heart the most is just Jen and Carrie's relationship. I love this friendship. It's just so beautiful to watch. I love Jen, Carrie, and Cash. Their whole dynamic is just great. But I wanted to say the moment that I died in episode 1 was the cat with the outstretched paw over
that
the glove.
That was so funny.
That cat with his little paw. Oh, man, it killed me. And then, okay, episode 2, I'll have the spiciest thing on the menu. No. Hey, I have a large bottle of sriracha mayo at home. I think I can handle some spice. Not just a bottle, a large bottle.
So offensive.
She thinks she knows some spice. Oh, God. And then, hello, do you have an appointment? Fuck you. I was like, that is me at the dentist. Oh my God. And then Carrie's realization, a burger is just a sandwich. She was like so blown away by that realization. Oh, that was killing me. And my favorite part, my tits turn cats into men. It's pretty straightforward. Maybe it's all animals. Maybe we should go to the zoo. But then the moment I died, episode 2, was flashing the dog. And then the woman comes by. I just wanted to make sure.
She owned it.
Oh, my God. Just when I thought the show was going to be done, it just had me down in stitches, man. I could not stop laughing at that one. This show has me, like, crying with laughter every single time. And then episode 3, okay. I'm basically a magnet. It's not active all the time, but when it happens, you'll know. It happened. The look on this girl's face. Oh, my God. That was so funny. And then Jen, please, Miss Jackson does not put on a bra on a Saturday for $250. And then when they discover it's 300,000 pounds, I could buy tender stem broccoli. Tender stem, Jen. It's so,
so
much
tender.
More tender.
So much more tender.
And then the speedy guy. I read Jane Austen novels for fun. That cracked me up. But then the moment I died, Carrie's song. I did what real men do and I licked her out. Maggie, you know I have a soft spot for you, but I sure as hell would never lick you out, Maggie.
That shit's nasty.
That shit's gross, or whatever he said. Seriously, Emma Moran just blows me away. This show's acting, mwah, chef's kisses all over the place, man. Every time she becomes, she channels another dead person and she completely like embodies them. Her face, I mean, Emma Moran's face is just, it's almost like a face made out of clay or something for all of the crazy gymnastics her face is able to do. I cannot take my eyes off of this girl. The show is just, it's incredible. I cannot wait to keep watching. I really was tempted to watch the next one, but I'm not going to do it. So I can't wait to see what you guys have to say about it. And I am just loving the podcast, loving the show. So keep going, guys. It's amazing. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Jay. That was awesome.
That was an awesome 3-episode voicemail.
Yeah. 3-episode recap. It was awesome. And a bunch of the awesome points.
Yeah.
I agree. Obviously, we've talked about it for hours now. It's great. I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the acting by Sophia Oxenham. Jade realized the mistake she made. She said to me in an email earlier that she's like, I don't know why I kept calling Sophia Oxenham Emma Moran. She got them confused. But Carrie's acting when she's channeling a dead person is just startlingly good.
Oh, yes.
All right. We have another voicemail from Jade about episode 4.
Hey, guys. Okay. I have a couple of things just real quick about episode 4. Okay. My favorite part is when Carrie popped her head in to Jen's room and she was like, housekeeping, in her little housekeeping clothes. And she pulls her glasses down and goes, it's me. It's Carrie. I was like, Carrie, I love you so freaking much, man. And then I really loved the Dr. Doolittle actor. His name is John McMillan. I thought he was very funny. I just really enjoyed his acting throughout. This guy is special and I totally want to see him now in other stuff. My favorite part was when he was getting kicked out of the club and he was just like, I know my rights. I have a really good credit rating. he was great. Okay, and so Cash is kind of the worst. He's like the worst leader of this vigilante group.
He leaves
his friends hanging. He leaves Carrie hanging. Like, Cash, no, I really am getting kind of sick and tired of him. And I don't know, Cash's whole storyline is just it's not like boring me, but it's not my favorite thing to follow because I just don't find his friend group, like, I don't find it that funny, like with the guy's butt hanging out the wall. I don't know. It just, that whole storyline just isn't hitting as hard for me. And I think that you guys can obviously agree from your last podcast. So, okay, things that I did love
Cash
though
fans.
Was, okay, Jizzlord. Yeah. His name is Hercule, which I thought was just great because it reminds me of my Poirot. But oh my God, the picture of him and his previous owner and the bunny ears, dude, it was killing me. And then, okay, this Tito dog, like how did he, so he wanted to go to a strip club called King Shit?
Yes.
Is that what the strip club is called? I'm confused. You guys need to help me make this clear because I'm like, how does he know about a strip club? Why does he want to go to a strip club? And is it called King Shit? But it was so funny the way that, like, when they're at the strip club, Jizzlord just keeps spitting out his drink. And Jen's like, no, don't spit it out. And then I love that Jen and Jizzlord, like, just were kind of forced there to sit and get a lap dance that neither of them wanted. I'm like, who's holding a gun to your head and forcing you to get this lap dance right now?
Apparently,
like, especially because lap dances are freaking expensive, man. Like, who is paying for this?
I was wondering that the whole time they were in that club.
Who is paying
LASIK
for this?
Money.
And then, God, the part that killed me, man, was when Tito runs away and they're just like, go, be free. And he just gets hit by a car instantly. And I'm like, is it bad that this is funny to me? Because I was dying. And my favorite part, I said this already, but my favorite part was when Jizzlord was just lapping milk out of a huge glass in the bar, just sitting there like quietly lap lap with his little sandpaper tongue. Oh my God. And if I could think of a name for Jizzlord, I think that this guy really looks like a Zachary to me. Which makes me think of Zachary Binks, who is the black cat in Hocus Pocus. So it all works. So I think his name should be Zachary. Or when he's in cat form, you can call him Binks. It works.
Nice.
Okay, guys, that's all I have this week. And I can't wait for the next one. Bye.
Thanks, Jade. Jade.
That was great.
Excellent voicemails. Keep them coming. Now that you're caught up, you can watch it week to week with us.
Yeah. Oh man, that was good stuff.
That was.
So yeah, hey, that was like, I said, the first 15 minutes of this, and then we actually got some emotional stuff, and it was really great.
Yeah.
That's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, maybe leave a voicemail, leave us an email, send in, I don't know, your idea for the most ridiculous power somebody could have. You can find all of our information at podcastica.com.
You can write in or record a voice message right there on podcastica.com. Or you can find links to our other social media pages and other shows. Like I mentioned Murder Magnets earlier about Poker Face. I'm caught up now and I'm able to watch week to week with you guys.
Awesome. And maybe we'll have you on as a guest host later in the season. Oh, that would be good.
That'd be awesome. Then obviously the cast of us is like The Last of Us. This last episode of The Last of Us was super intense. Super crazy. Yeah, it was very excellent.
I am loving that show.
Yeah, it's so good.
And if you like what we're doing, hit like, follow, subscribe, leave us a rating or a review. But really, the follows and the downloads are what help us out. I checked today, and we are the top podcast if you search extraordinary on Apple Podcasts. So something's working. Keep it coming.
But you have to search extraordinary on Apple Podcasts. Not you guys, but the fact that we may be the only one.
Yeah.
but you know what? This show deserves more attention because it is phenomenal.
It's so funny.
But next time on the show, we'll be covering season 1, episode 5, The Gin Show. And I did look at a little bit of not the preview, but I read the recap for it. And I think we're in for some rough times.
I think you're right about that. Wait, Greg, are you suffering from post-transformational long-term memory loss and generalized aphasia?
Oh, yes, I'm suffering from post-transformational memory loss and aphasia.
All right, then. We'll help you out with that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.